When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, Tuesday on Sports Grid. It is game time decisions. I'm Kevin Walsh with you for the next 2 hours on what is turning into quite the Tuesday of news. Michael Vick's going to college to coach a little football. An Atlanta quarterback drama situation. Pass the baton. Raheem Morris not so sure if he likes what he's getting out of Kirk Cousins. Cody Bellinger's a Yankee. All right, not mad at that. We've got loaded college basketball, a fun college football bowl game, but more important than anything, the NBA Cup Final. Once again, a roaring success. This show will always be a proponent of the NBA Cup. Year number one, the King. LeBron wins it. Now either Giannis or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander will look to stake their claim as leading their team to the second ever Cup Final. This number's on the move a little. We're seeing 5.5, 6 in the market on OKC. At one point today, the Bucks money line as high as plus 200, which could be relevant to some. If perhaps you were with us just a few months ago, not even months, really a few weeks, when we did our Take 5 for the NBA Cup, where the number one bet was the Thunder to win it all at 12-1. If you want to ride it out, I don't blame you. I lean OKC not just to win the game, but on the side. But it is also the NBA Cup. It is single elimination. And you didn't have to wait that long. You want to grab a taste of Milwaukee? I don't hate that one bit. I know personally, because I didn't hedge anything off of OKC until this moment. And there were a few spots you could have been worried. The final day where you needed Phoenix to beat San Antonio, or a game up against the Rockets that was tight throughout on Saturday. I trusted OKC. I will say tonight, I've played a bit of Milwaukee on the other side. It would be far more profitable for the Thunder to win this whole thing, but I played a little bit, and that is respect for both of their stars. That would be Giannis and Dame. And the NBA Cup MVP tonight is bringing out some specials markets, and you're seeing J-Dub enter the conversation as well. If you want to take a shot on either Jalen Williams or Lillard to win the Cup MVP, it's 11-1. Of course, the heavy expectation is it'll go to either Giannis or SGA. They are giving us the chance to pair a Cup MVP with a regular season MVP, plus 450 on SGA. You're getting 17-1 on Giannis. I am interested in Nikola Jokic's slot within the MVP race. He is the favorite. He should be. He's the best player in the world and certainly has been this season. But his candidacy, I am not sure is going to result in a full runaway. Because I still think there are some stopgaps when it comes to Nikola Jokic. It would be his fourth MVP. That's a ton of MVPs, right? I think LeBron only has four. I mean, again, that's a ton of MVPs if Jokic is able to win another one here. It's also the Nuggets are not having a great season, right? When you compare their record, it's not all that dissimilar from Giannis's Milwaukee Bucks, who have climbed out of the depths of the NBA's standings. And it's certainly nowhere near Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, who's looking to run it back again as the number one seed in the Western Conference. I'm not sure you're maybe getting enough juice here, but I will say, I don't think the MVP race for the regular season is done and dusted. Jokic, though, the understandable favorite. Let's get to these four stars tonight and what we might be able to expect out of them and where we could potentially play some action. Giannis with the biggest overall expectations, a 48.5 points, rebounds, and assists number. Giannis is the main reason I've laid off some money with the Milwaukee side, because a healthy Giannis Antetokounmpo still has an argument for best player in the world. He really does. And that is a thing that is not true for many players. Giannis's status in this league for me has been banged up because he's not been healthy in the postseason for a while now. That messes things up, okay? When you talk about Giannis Antetokounmpo, but he's healthy tonight, and that means he has the chance to blast through some of these numbers. I know some are playing a triple-double. I do not hate 40-plus, 45, 45-plus points. I'm serious. Giannis has done it before. He is a postseason performer. He is certified in that way. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is getting there if he hasn't already arrived. SGA last year in the postseason showed just how special he was, outplaying Luka Doncic in that series against the Mavericks. Yes, Oklahoma City lost. They didn't lose because of Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, I'll tell you that. A 32.5 points prop tonight. Who's getting in front of Shea numbers? Win or go home, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, it feels, this Thunder team as a whole is far more likely to win. And remember, they don't even have Chet Holmgren, who is supposed to be their second best player. Though you could have conversations around that. We'll talk J-Dub in a second. I will say Lillard of this group, the most tempting for me tonight. This moment, I think it's more important to Lillard than anybody else on the court tonight. It doesn't mean it's going to result in a win. What I think it will result in is volume. I think for Damian Lillard, who's never been to, of course, an NBA Finals, part of the story of Lillard, right, throughout his time in the league is don't run, and then obviously had no choice but to get to Milwaukee. He's here now. I think you see that volume. He's not had unreal efficiency. It creates that bounce back spot. I like him over the 22.5 points. I don't mind J-Dub's 22.5 either. He's in a nice clean bounce back spot for this game as well. Isaiah Hartenstein's 14.5 rebounds plus assists. Not a bad prop look if you want to get involved. Quickly, and we're going to have Coach join us in a bit. The college basketball board tonight is littered with some of the top teams when you talk about the outright market. Auburn is going to play tonight. Tennessee is playing Western Carolina. The Duke Blue Devils are in the mix against George Mason. And I'm actually involved with a number of these teams' games tonight, though I am looking to take points in a few of these spots. Scary to get in front of Auburn. I'm grabbing the 39.5 with Georgia State. We saw Georgia State play Kentucky. They were able to hang just inside that number and cover, losing that game by 29. I'm grabbing the 19.5 with George Mason, a solid defensive group in a low-scoring game. I think 19.5 is just too many points. We'll get that full college card. It will include Florida and North Carolina. Jumpman Invitational, best game on the board tonight. Let's go over the 167.5. Tempo, tempo, tempo. North Carolina and RJ Davis could get it going. I don't trust them defensively enough, though, to grab the points, even if I lean the Tar Heels' direction. And then your Frisco Bowl. If you don't know, I will bet the side of all of these bowl games this year, outside of maybe the Rutgers game because of the Jersey stuff. I am waiting, waiting, waiting on this number. We're in a dead zone right now, 5, 5.5, but we'll talk about it as the night rolls on. We get Coach in the mix. It is a Basketball Tuesday here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're live on Sports Grid. It's game time decisions. It is NBA Cup final night. People want storylines for the NBA. Well, get involved. Because either Giannis and the Bucks put a big one on the table that's a panic pause. Now, maybe we've got some juice here. Or the Oklahoma City Thunder let people know, yeah, man, this is a problem. We're young and we're here. And we're ready to rock. And we don't even have Chet right now. This game's got juice. And if you don't watch this game because there's going to be too many threes, you're a weirdo. You're also not real because nobody actually does that. Now let me get off my soapbox and get the man himself, Coach James Young, into the fold. JY, it's beautiful to see you. Our time, though, it's always a little too limited for me. So tell me, what do you like tonight? NBA Cup Final, Bucks Thunder.
Kevin, it's good to talk to you. Who cares about Mike Vick going to Norfolk State or Sacramento State or all this other stuff? It's ball season, K-Dub. And you know what? I want to announce, folks, that the ambassador of the NBA Cup Relations Committee is the Kevin Walsh because he got JY on board, and I'm all in. When it comes to the game, I like Oklahoma City. Listen, Sam Presti has proven himself to be the best GM in the NBA because he's got all those picks left. And what did we say they needed? They needed a defender, and they needed a center. And I'll tell you what, Isaiah Hartenstein has been fabulous since coming back, showing a propensity more to score a little bit. And I like the way that this team is number one in the NBA in points differential. Listen, I know it's been a good run, especially by Giannis. I can't get in front of Oklahoma City Thunder right now. Give me Oklahoma City Thunder minus the points.
Laying it with OKC. JY, I lean that way. I was on the Thunder before the Cup got underway. It's funny because I could lie and tell people that, oh, I called the outright winner 2 years in a row because everybody would just assume I was on the Lakers in year one. I was not. I was actually pretty hot on the Celtics in year number one. Ultimately, the Celtics have a weird thing with this Cup. They haven't been able to figure it out just yet. I'll give you 2025 NBA Cup, I'm looking Boston's way. I'm telling you that right now. We're already a little interested. They might need to trade Tatum, though, because ultimately we know he's going to cost me money if he has anything to say about it. JY, are there props in this game that are catching your attention, though, between the Thunder and the Bucks?
Yeah, one of them I'm looking at is Isaiah Hartenstein. We just talked about over 11.5 points over in 6 of his 10 games so far. And I think his ability that, you know, I love that little push shot. I think it gives them something, especially without Chet, gets them going a little bit. 11.5 seems to be a light number. I think he can find himself getting to a category of about 15 plus. So I like Isaiah Hartenstein over 11.5 points. Giannis over rebounds. I think Giannis is going to do everything in his power to get this team to win. He looks engaged. He looks fired up. Remember the last time he played Oklahoma City Thunder last year, he got 19 rebounds. Sorry, it went from 11.5 to 12.5. So do shop around. It is 12.5. I'm sorry. But Giannis to get over 12.5 rebounds, I absolutely love tonight. And because Hartenstein plays a big role, Kevin, I'm going to my Brooke Lopez low-hanging fruit. Rebounds, 4.5, because I'm 6'5". I'm 6'6". Kevin's a little bit shorter than me, but he's a stretch 4. I'm more of a 5. I don't understand how this guy can't get 5 rebounds. 5. I ain't asking for 10. I want 5 rebounds. He gets it tonight. Brooke Lopez over 4.5 rebounds tonight.
All right, a little love there for Brooks, something that has been driving Coach nuts as long as I've known him, quite frankly. JY, let me ask you something big picture NBA, if I can. We're hearing more trade talk within the association earlier than we're used to as well, right? I don't know if teams want to wait around for the deadline. We may get a superstar deal done with Jimmy Butler. My read on the situation is the Heat will gladly send Jimmy to Phoenix if they bring back Bradley Beal, maybe a pick or another piece on top of it. I think Phoenix would do a Jimmy for Beal swap. It probably comes down to, would Bradley Beal waive his no-trade clause to be dealt off of the Suns to the Miami Heat? What is your read on this Jimmy Butler situation?
Well, listen, the Jimmy Butler situation, we knew was coming to a head last year, right? When he wanted the extension and Riles wanted him to play. And it's interesting that Jimmy Butler's been playing better as of late. So, yeah, I think it makes sense to go to a spot like Phoenix where he can load up with a couple of superstars, where he could be the number three scoring option. Let's be honest, if you're looking at Phoenix, the best type of ability is dependability, availability. And with Bradley Beal, you can't trust him. So if you could swap out, Bradley Beal for Jimmy Butler, you got the same production, just as good of a player, probably better defensively. But more importantly, Kevin, someone that wants to get the bag, wants to get the check, and wants to stick it to Riles a little bit. So I think that trade makes sense for both sides. And if you look at a team like, Miami getting Bradley Beal back, he will become probably that. He could be the number one and number two scoring option, depending on what you think with seeing him and Tyler Hero. So it actually makes sense for both sides to make this deal. But, Kevin, there's so many other guys that are going to get moved. What happens with Zach LaVine? He's going to get moved at some point. We saw the Nets already trading Dennis Schroeder. You got to watch the Pelicans really, really closely, because that team has imploded with injuries. DeJounte Murray gets hurt. Zion, that guy should be on a milk box carton. We ain't going to see his behind until next year, probably. What did they do with B.I.? What did they do with McCollum? Herb Jones. So there's going to be a lot of movement. Valanciunas is another guy that can get moved. D'Angelo Russell. So it's going to be interesting, Kevin. I think there's going to be a flurry of moves, and I think it may start early, like you said, because I think teams want to start making shape to make runs at the playoffs.
Seeding could matter, right? And with the play-in and deeper conferences, ultimately, a team like the Lakers, right, would love to get whatever deal done they want to get done now instead of in February, where it could be too late. You only have 20 games left to build that connective tissue there. We are going to hit a quick break here. Coach is going to stick around for a couple more minutes, get some college basketball picks from JY as well. It is a busy Tuesday right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right here, it's Game Time Decisions. Kevin Walsh, we're with Coach James Young. JY, fly through it for me. What do we like on the college board here? Pack Tuesday slate.
Oh, what a slate tonight. What a slate. I got about seven of them, so I'm just going to rattle them off for everybody. Number one, I'm going to go over in DePaul, St. John's over 150. Both teams have dynamic offenses, and I think Pitino plays this style. They want to get up and down like the old Pitino gaze of Kentucky. He's got the offense. Their defense isn't so great. DePaul can score. I think the over-under is 150.5. I'll take the over in that game. Next, Duke minus 19.5. Kevin and I are against each other with this. Duke, I think, needs to get rolling a little bit. They've been spotty at times, but I do like a minus of 19.5 points. Third, I'm going to the logic that Dave Sharapan taught me. When you have a home team that is a short dog versus a ranked road favorite, you take the home dog. And that is South Carolina plus 2.5 versus Clemson. Clemson's done really well, but they don't typically play well outside of Little John Fieldhouse. And this is a rivalry in-state game. Next, Ole Miss minus 24.5 versus Southern. I think Chris Beard's team continues to play well. Kevin and I are in agreement. UNC Florida. Listen, Florida with Walter Clayton III can absolutely score. North Carolina can score. North Carolina don't play no defense. You think 167 is a lot of points? I don't think so. I'm going over. I think there's going to be a boatload of points. You like overs? I'll give you an under. Seton Hall, Villanova. Seton Hall, yikes, offensively. But the one thing Shaheen Holloway has done a great job of is trying to compete and try to make it a half-court game. Villanova has looked markedly better since Eric Rodel became the AD, has put pressure on Kyle Neptune. They have played better. But I do think Sha finds a way to shorten this game. It's one, I think it's 126 and a half. I still think it's under. I don't know if either team gets to 60 tonight. That's how low scoring this game's gonna be. And lastly, I'm gonna talk real quick. The best team that no one talks about, Drake. This guy comes in with a bunch of D2 kids that play his style. They're going on the road to play Kansas State and Clubber, I call him Clubber Tang. Tangy Fresh. Tangy Fresh is getting a loss, but I'm going to take the point half. Give me Drake tonight.
All right, a little love there for Drake from Coach. You mentioned the over in that game between Florida and UNC. Excited to watch Walter Clayton go head-to-head there with RJ Davis. I mean, J.Y., it is a shout-out to Iona whenever the kid takes the court.
I mean, listen, at the end of the day, if we're going to shout out Iona, let's shout out Rick Pitino, who's doing a great job with Shay John. No. I think I may have got kicked off there. I'll see you guys next time. Have a good night.
Good stuff there from Coach. I mean, listen, I'm just saying, I don't know. We really want to praise Rick for leaving Iona. He said he wasn't going to leave. Not great. You know, we're holding him to it. Let me just say, we're going to go through your college slate tonight a little bit more, but Florida, North Carolina is a game that did beat me up a little bit. As I try to figure out my favorite way to play it, a 10-0 Florida team against a 6-4 UNC team, the preseason expectation certainly would suggest really both of those are a bit surprising. Florida had some juice. I don't think people thought they had 10 games unbeaten to start their season juice. Now, part of that is, of the teams currently inside the top 10 on KenPom, nobody's played an easier schedule than the Florida Gators. It's not been 10 games of nobodies, but it's 10 games of a lot of teams that are probably even a little more disappointing than people thought. Your Wake Forest's, your Virginia's of the world, Arizona State, people were a little low on, and they've certainly not lived up to any billing there, and Florida rolled that team. For North Carolina, at 6-4, you look at the four losses, Kansas, Auburn, Michigan State, and Alabama, and you go, that's all right. Those are really good ball clubs. Yeah, but you got to win some of the games if you're going to be one of the best teams in college basketball. Remind you, this was a preseason top 10 team in North Carolina. Kansas lost super close on the road. Got it. Auburn right now is a machine. You lose by 8. Okay, not the worst thing that's ever happened. Sparty's an OT loss. Tough. Getting rolled by Bama in your building's not great. And now the Dayton win, which is the big win, it was a massive, kind of improbable comeback. It doesn't mean they don't get credit for it, but they were 9.5-point favorite in that game. So, you know, ultimately a 2-point win isn't necessarily something the Tar Heels can hang their hat on. So the side to me was tricky. I felt comfort in the over when I look at this Florida resume. They've played a lot of defenses that grade out as well as UNC's. Arizona State, Virginia, Wake. But North Carolina is so much faster than all of them. The pace tonight is really going to dictate that 167.5 being vulnerable. We'll get to the rest of the college card next here on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back with you right here on Sports Grid, Game Time Decisions. The college basketball board tonight is certainly plentiful. Mention the over in Florida, UNC. One of a few picks for me tonight, 6 right now on my college basketball card. Let's get to the rest of the totals before we get to the side. I am also going to play the over in Ole Miss Southern. This number checks in at 143.5. Very interesting. Southern played a game against Texas A&M, which went well under the listed total. Yet that total was the same exact 143.5 number. And this is not the first time this has, interestingly enough, happened with the two SEC teams in Ole Miss and Texas A&M, where the games are booked with the same total, but they do not get the same result. both A&M and Ole Miss played a game against Purdue. We saw a bang under with A&M. Purdue just 136 points. We saw a bang over when it was Ole Miss Purdue with 158 points scored. And it, again, completely matches what you would expect. Ole Miss is better offensively than A&M, worse defensively than A&M, faster than A&M. So to see this number tonight at 143.5, I think is a nice opportunity. We're going to look for some points here as we've got Ole Miss and Southern with a listed total of 143.5. I'm going to play the team total over for Dayton at 75.5. This is an odd one for me. The number does look light on the Flyers, who are at home, and they are coming off of a win in the same exact building against Marquette. The game against Marquette was a round pick, right? Some spots probably closed shading the Golden Eagles. Some closed Dayton. There's very likely a 10-point gap between that of UNLV and Marquette. Yet we see this number check in here tonight at 10.5. Though I don't want to lay a huge number with the Flyers here when it is their offense that I'm trying to attack with anyway. I saw UNLV make the trip to Creighton, an offense that is not as good as Dayton's. Play a little faster, sure, but not as good as Dayton's this season. And they allowed 83 points. I think 75.5 is a nice number. We saw Miss State put 80-plus up on UNLV as well. Let's get over to 75.5 tonight for Dayton. Your sides, some big numbers out there, no doubt. It starts with Duke George Mason. The Duke Blue Devils, the team who I bet to win the national championship at the college game, who this season has handed Auburn its only loss. And for Duke, that was certainly a big deal. Since that, though, we've seen Duke play some bang unders here. An under against Incarnate Word and another under against Louisville. You look tonight now, you get this really low total, 136.5. I think maybe it's come up a little bit from some 135.5s. But now you have Duke laying a really big number in what is supposed to be a much lower scoring game. Now, Duke certainly could get the job done in that fashion, because it is their defense that is dictating a lot of the number, though they are not solely responsible for that. George Mason currently grades out as one of the better offenses in terms of, or defenses, excuse me, of teams that are playing at the mid-major level right now. It's nearly top 50, and they play at one of those slower tempos as well. They're outside of the top 250 when you talk about quickest teams in college basketball. So I think George Mason can hang inside this number. I know their game against Marquette this year was not a cover, but it was a 19-point loss against Marquette, and I think Marquette's a little bit quicker. I think the nature of the Golden Eagles makes it a little bit easier to create that separation than it will tonight for Duke. I mentioned Auburn. You can tell how excited I am for this one, but I had to play Georgia State catching 39.5. Auburn is decimating teams to the degree that grabbing this many points doesn't even feel all that comfortable. Auburn just won by 38 against Ohio State on a neutral court. The game before that, they played Richmond. They beat them by a smooth 44 points, laying 29.5. I just feel as if those were a little... I'm not trying to downgrade Auburn. It's a little situational. It is hard to beat everyone you play by 40, right? Richmond had it coming to them. It was Auburn coming off of their first loss. Ohio State maybe to some degree had it coming to them. It was Auburn in a new step-up game, right? Because the Duke loss was probably still sat with them a little bit. Now, tonight, you're playing Georgia State, and a 35-point win is great for Auburn and great for me because that's inside the number. Georgia State went to Kentucky. They were in that basketball game catching 30.5. They lost by 29. It's a tidy little cover. I also, maybe I'm nuts, I don't think Auburn's 9-10 points better than Kentucky. I'm trying to buy low here on the Panthers. Again, relatively speaking, the Tigers are a wagon. I am going to lay a big number tonight. I laid 33.5 with UCLA against the Prairie View A&M Panthers. Look, Prairie View is atrocious. They have one win in their first 10 games this season, and it came against the College of Biblical Studies. Yeah, that's how it's going right now for Prairie View. One of the fastest teams in college basketball, one of the worst defenses in college basketball against UCLA, who is slow and excellent defensively. I think the Bruins will be able to score at will, and I don't think they're going to let their foot off the gas here against Prairie View, who did have a fun, exciting, attaboy cover against Mississippi State. They caught 38.5 in that game. They were tied at half, proceeded to lose the game by 7. I think UCLA, again, I think we're getting a little bit of value tonight on a 33.5. The number's climbing in some spots. We're going to have Brady Cannon join us in just a couple of moments here. Do some look-ahead NFL. Really interesting situation with the Falcons and what bettors may do with that number now that the Michael Penix situation is beginning. But I just want to quickly reiterate with the college football tonight. Again, I am kind of giving myself the little challenge, if you will, bet all these bowl games on the side. I know there's probably some irony in that because there are people who do that without any type of personal challenge set for them. But we have the game sat in a dead zone. So they ended up popping. The opening number was a field goal, 3.5 in spots of West Virginia laying. They fire Neil Brown. We know they're going to bring Rich Rod in next year. Portal, portal, portal. And this number shifts a lot. At points today, we saw 6s out there, maybe a 6.5. I wanted to see if we could touch 7. At that point, then, I would probably say, all right, we've moved enough. I'll take the 7 points. Maybe West Virginia plays for Chad Scott, running backs coach, offensive coordinator, has been there for a very long time, and we could stay inside this number. But the reality is the West Virginia defense is getting beat up by the portal. The defense was atrocious. It gave up the third most yards per pass attempt in all of college this season. All of college, which is incredible when you consider this a power-level school. Memphis is out there with Seth Hennigan, who can absolutely rip heaters. And mind you, West Virginia this year didn't beat a single team that finished above 500. They picked on the even, you know, the bottom feeders of the Big 12. Maybe Memphis, you know, is Memphis good enough to win the Big 12? No. Would Memphis have been good enough to hang in the Big 12? I think yes, and you're getting the worst version of West Virginia. Right now, this is likely going to end with me betting Memphis, but since like, we're in a dead zone, right? Under a touchdown, I'm laying it with Memphis. I'm now going to wait and see. Can I get 4.5? 4. Waiting to get to the best of the number for what's going to be a 9 o'clock kick right now at the Frisco Bowl, where it looks like, again, barring some late crazy news shifting this number a ton, we're going to lay this number here with Memphis tonight against West Virginia. Let's get Brady Cannon in the mix with us. What do we do if Michael Penix steps in for Kirk Cousins? Bump? Downgrade? Stay away? Third option might not be a bad idea. We'll ask Brady on the other side.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live with you right here on Sports Grid. It is Game Time Decisions. We've got our guy Brady Cannon stomping by to talk some look-ahead lines for the NFL. And I want to kind of bring in kind of a developing story with the Atlanta Falcons head coach Raheem Morris hitting the podium, asked about the quarterback position, and didn't commit to Kirk Cousins. Kirk's been bad. I don't think anybody would have batted an eye if Raheem Morris defended Cousins, considering the contract suggests Kirk's going to be the quarterback next year, much less the rest of this season. At least that was the assumption. Brady, we're now maybe going to get Michael Penix next week. I'm currently seeing Atlanta as a 9.5-point favorite against the New York Giants at home. If Penix gets the job, how would you potentially adjust some numbers?
Boy, I tell you, I'd probably go lower on the Falcons. I don't know what has happened to Kirk Cousins. He came out of the bye week and threw four interceptions against the Chargers. Right. They really never should have lost that game. Justin Herbert was held to under 150 yards passing. It's really weird how he's gone south so quickly, because it wasn't that long ago that we saw this guy throwing for 500 yards and, you know, was having a pretty darn good season. This entire team has really kind of fallen off of a cliff, and a lot of it is due to, you know, Kirk Cousins and that offense really going south so quickly. I don't know how it turned so quickly here, but it would probably be worse, I think, with Penix, because he's had no experience. He is a rookie. I couldn't believe this number opened 10. Now, we've seen it come back in the direction that I thought it would. I made it 4.5. I mean, the Atlanta Falcons were 6-point favorites here in Las Vegas against the Raiders. Okay, that number was originally 4. It went to 6 when we found out it was going to be Desmond Ridder. And they were, you know, that close to losing that game, a Hail Mary being converted away to losing that game outright. So it's a pretty soft 6 points that they truly won that game by. And are the Giants better or worse than the Raiders? They got to be somewhat similar, the Raiders with Ridder and without Max Crosby. And now we're going to make the Falcons 10-point favorites at home? I downgraded the Falcons yet again. I mean, it's like 3 straight downgrades in a row for them on a week-to-week basis. So I don't know how they were double-digit favorites over anybody. And I don't really care who's a quarterback in that regard, Kevin. Now, I'm not necessarily running to the window to take the Giants, but I thought 10, even 9, is too many in my opinion.
Yeah, I hear it. I don't want to be a scorned bettor as somebody who very confidently got to the window on Sunday with the Giants against Baltimore. Different level of team. I do think that the Boyle drop-off was a big part of that, having no chance. He is a trope. It really is ridiculous that he gets work in the NFL. He was bad in college. He's been bad in the NFL. He's been around a decade. It's a little embarrassing. It is what it is. I think you have two teams that not many people will be interested in betting on whatsoever. I will just say, just at a, again, like a big level with this story, if they bench Kirk, I have to imagine that means he is traded in the offseason. And at that point then, Brady, I'll bring your team into this, who you know well. But man, Kyle Shanahan, like a number of coaches, you know, they all love Kirk Cousins. And I wonder if Kirk all of a sudden would come off cheaper than paying Brock Purdy all that money if there would be some interest from the 49ers.
If they can get him at a bargain, Kevin, you know, if the scenario you're suggesting plays out and he's benched and then he becomes, you know, trade bait and what have you, and the Niners can get him for a song, then yeah, I think Kyle would bring him in, and with the thoughts of maybe being a backup, but also having the competition with Brock Purdy. I think the Niners are all in on Brock Purdy. And I don't think Brock Purdy is nearly as bad as some of the games he has looked like this year. I think it's more of a product of that entire team. They're extremely injured. They really have been all year. The Super Bowl hangover is real. They've never really been able to get out of their own way. They played a brilliant, brilliant game in week 1 against the New York Jets, and it's really never been as good ever since. So I don't think Purdy, you know, you look at him right now, you look at him the last few weeks, and you're like, boy, this guy isn't a $55 million a year guy. But I think he's probably going to end up signing for that. And I think Purdy's fine. I think Purdy is a very good quarterback. Again, I think what we're seeing is a bad team in total. And yeah, we know that Shanahan has always had that love affair with Cousins. If he could bring him in like a Sam Darnold, like he did last year, as a real, you know, as obviously one of the best backups in the league and compete for that starting position, possibly, I could see it happening. I'd probably bet against it, though, because you're probably not going to necessarily get him too cheap. And I don't know if Cousins is ready to assume that backup role.
Yeah, I think Kirk would only be coming in as a starter. What I would say for Purdy is, is Brock Purdy an NFL starting quarterback? Yes. Is Brock Purdy worth resetting the market? No. And if there are issues with the team, as you say, Brady, and I know the injuries have a lot to do with that, it'll be hard to address some of them if you're paying Brock Purdy something that almost everybody agrees he isn't worth. they have a really interesting game in South Beach on Sunday where I feel as if Miami's struggles against Houston have really kept this line much lower than maybe the books would have thought it would be a week ago.
I couldn't believe the Dolphins came out as the favorite. I made San Francisco a 3-point favorite, and believe me, I'm not high on the Niners. Yeah. But the Dolphins aren't that good either. I think we saw that, and especially when they play good teams, Kevin. I mean, they have been awful performing against teams above 500, and I guess the Niners don't actually qualify. But I think they have so much... a lot more talent. I don't know if they have a lot more healthy talent, but I would expect that Trent Williams should be back for this game. I think he was close last week. Nick Bosa returned to action. Dre Greenlaw, we'll see if he's on a higher pitch count than he was on Thursday night. They've got extra rest coming into this one. You know, we still don't have, obviously, Mason or, you know, McCaffrey. The running back team is still down. The receiving core is banged up. It's just been the story of this Niner team all year long. But still, I was pretty surprised to see Miami favored.
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting spot. I think Tua, after that game against Houston, gives off an unbettable vibe. Brady's going to stick around. We'll talk a little bit more about your upcoming slate next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
On SportsGrid, we're joined by Brady Cannon. Want to talk about some of the upcoming games for this Sunday. I do have to ask you about this, Brady. I don't know what your thoughts were heading into the game against Dallas, but I imagine the books won't be rushing to make Carolina a favorite, much less a field goal favorite, anytime soon again. It was just one of those instances where the Panthers, hanging with good teams, again, got them a lot of respect, and then the rug pulled out from right underneath them, and now are catching 4.5 points from Arizona after they just laid 3 to Dallas.
Yeah, I had a feeling that was going to be an ugly Sunday for Carolina, assuming the role of favorite. You know, after they had been kind of achieving above their heads, you know, for many weeks in a row, given the Chiefs' troubles, you know, beating the Saints, beating the Giants, being very, very competitive and really turning their season around. Canales doing a really good job. Bryce Young, you know, doesn't look like the bust we all thought he was, and maybe he still is, but he's been turning some heads for sure. And then they get cast into the role of the favorite, and all of a sudden they have expectations. I didn't think that was going to go well, and it did not. On the other hand, I think 4 or 4.5 is too many to give the Panthers here against the Arizona Cardinals. I think the Cardinals have shown in the last few weeks they maybe aren't the team we thought they were either. Now, they really put it on the Patriots, but I think that says probably a lot about the Patriots. The Cardinals should have beaten the Vikings, and then they come home and they really got stomped by the Seattle Seahawks. So this team is a little bit fickle. I think they're a decent team. They struggle on defense still. That's really been their Achilles heel all season long. The Panthers struggle on defense as well. Mm. But I made the number 2.5 in favor of Arizona. I thought 4 was a few too many. I could accept a 3, but I think, you know, 3, 3.5, and even 4 certainly would be a take with the home team here.
I couldn't agree more. We'll watch it develop, but just look, I know that the way I do it with the spread math is maybe not everybody's cup of tea, but this would suggest Arizona is 7.5 points better than Dallas on a neutral field. No, they're not. No, so it means it means we've overcorrected probably, and I think that's the case here. One team I am sure the books are adjusting again is the Chicago Bears. I mean, it's like they keep one-upping themselves for like worst game of the year, heartbreaking loss. They've lost 8 games in a row, which is the second longest streak in the league behind the Vegas Raiders, catching almost a full touchdown at home against the Detroit Lions this coming Sunday.
I made it 7.5. And wow. I think the hard part here is to calculate it properly with the Lions injuries. And by the way, they suffered a couple more injuries on that defensive side of the ball this past Sunday. So I've really got to dive in and look at these injuries. They should, you would think, start to be getting some players back. You know, it's kind of been a revolving door there as far as the injured list for Detroit. Pretty soon, some of these guys have to be starting to get healthy. The word all along was that a lot of these players are going to be ready for the postseason. So that would tell me that some of them may be ready as soon as this week. We will see. You know, you're going to have to look long and hard, I think, at that Detroit Lions injury report before you make a play on this game. Maybe you just stay away. I'm close to the number, obviously. I'm on the other side of 7, which is a big deal. The current line on the you know, less than 7 at 6.5. But I don't know about these Bears, man. I thought they might show up in a division game last night.
So did
I. And it's not just that they're a complete mess. I think this coach is in over his head. It's a tear down and you know, start over again, and not completely start over. I think a lot of people overreact to Caleb Williams. I think we all also understand that he does have a ton of talent. I think he's going to be fine. They need work on the offensive line. They have some weapons. They need probably a few upgrades here and there. I don't think they're a long ways away as far as talent, really, on both sides of the ball. But organizationally, the coaching, they need to hit refresh in a hurry. Detroit should win the game. I don't think any problem. And Campbell continues to do it. When it looks like they're, you know, down to their last gasp, they find a way to get it done. And I think we kind of see that here again. I want to lay the points with the Lions before I took it with Chicago, even though they have been much better at home against the number.
It's one of those spots where if it gets to 7, I might have to bet the Chicago. So I'll probably hope it doesn't. So I can just leave it alone.
Yeah, I hear
you. And not kind of deal with the headache. Brady, appreciate it. As always, wish you the best of luck with the week ahead. Here, we'll be right back. We're live with you on SportsGrid.